Malachim Aleph, Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Yudalad. Terrible, terrible prophecy being given to Yerubbaam's wife, who's never been listed as having any flaws of her own, aside from being married to the most sinful king at this point in Jewish history, and maybe for all time in some levels, because every time we talk about future kings and their sins, particularly Avodah Zarah, it's always going to be brought back to Yerubbaam ben Nevat. And so Yerubbaam really... It's funny that fairy tales and American legend always has the image from rags to riches, the prince and the pauper, the commoner who is elevated to kingship, and then they all live happily ever after, and that's the end of the story. But that's fiction, and this is reality. And in fact, the reality is horrifying. When a commoner who is not suited for rule is elevated to the throne, terrible things occur. And he drives 80% of the people completely off the derech of Hashem to worshiping Avodah Zarah, to acting with vice and emulating their non-Jewish neighbors, to starting civil wars between the Jews, between Yisrael and Yehuda, elevating a commoner for all that the popular American Jewish imagination thinks of that as a positive thing. Anybody can be anything. You can be born anybody and become president of the United States. Sometimes such people make terrible presidents of the United States, perhaps. It's a Mussar Haskil on what we think of democracy making everybody equal. Read the book by George Orwell, Animal Farm, Lahavdil, and you'll see what happens when a pig with ambition starts lording it over all the rest of the barnyard. Yudalad v'hekim Hashem lo melech al Yisrael. And not only every mashtin bakir, every kasher yivar ha-golol, everything ground up by teeth, that's another meaning we didn't mention last time, is going to be destroyed, but Hashem will raise up him as a king over Israel, asher yachr says Beis Yerubbaam. The one who massacres Beis Yerubbaam will be raised up as a king. So he who destroys the house of Jeroboam will be appointed king of Yisrael. Zehayom, on the day that he wipes out the dynasty and eliminates the house. Umeh, gamata. But what does it matter now? Interesting phrase. What does it matter now? So why is that thrown in? So Rashi says, Umegam Ata is a reference to this future terrible fate being born right now. These seeds that are planted right now are going to destroy him in the future. The connection between the present and the future and the consequences of one's actions. The Radak says, however, that what does it matter now is a comparative statement. To say, what difference does it make? Matsarazu gamata, kolomar niklahu tsarazu ki yoser v'yoser yavo al Yisrael tsaros. What happens to Beis Yerubbaam is just a microcosm of the terrible fate that is going to befall all of the northern kingdom of Yisrael. So what does Yerubbaam's trouble matter, considering what's going to happen to all of Yisrael in the future? Their destruction, their exile by Sancherev, they're being smitten and eventually being destroyed. Tesvav v'hiko Hashem es Yisrael. Because Hashem is going to smite all of Yisrael. Kasher yonud hakone b'mayim. As a reed lurches around, as a reed shakes and is unstable, sways in the water. So, you know, reeds bend, but they don't break, but they're blown all about, and they're restless. So just as reeds are pushed by both the wind above and the water below, constantly moving, constantly quivering, constantly shaking, the same thing is going to happen to the 10 tribes. Eventually, being exiled completely, v'nos ashes Yisrael, me'alhu adomo hatova hazos, and I am going to, or Hashem is going to, uproot Yisrael from this bountiful land, this good land Asher Nosan La'avosehem, that he gave to their forefathers. They're so sure that they want to have a second kingdom, a rival kingdom. They want to split off from Yehuda. Well, they're sowing the seeds of their own destruction. And they will be exiled first, long before Yehuda is, because they made themselves vulnerable. And why and how? B'zei Rama may Aver La Nahar, and he is going to scatter them like seeds across the from across the river. Yan Asher Osu Es Hashem Rehem, Machisim Es Hashem. Whereas they have made their Asherah trees, angering Hashem. Which is interesting because we haven't talked about Asherah trees yet. We've talked about the two large golden calves. We talked about the temples that he made. We talked about the Avodah Zarah that he instilled in the nation of Yisrael. But all of this was instigated by Yeravam's introduction of Avodah Zarah as the official state religion. As the instigator, he is responsible for the averos of the entire nation. Even if he does tshuva, the consequences of his actions live on. And he can't stop them. He set the wheel in motion. And it's too much bigger to continue. So it's interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cursing Klal Yisrael, the nation of Yisrael certainly, but at the same time there's a blessing hidden within, because while the reed is small and weak, it survives, it bends, it continues, even with a great storm, the reed stands up straight once the wind stops blowing. On the other hand, Bilam called Klal Yisrael like great strong cedars, but he called us cedars along the water, the Ma'am Loes points out. The cedar tree doesn't grow in the water, it grows near it. And if the water recedes, the cedar weakens. And if a strong wind blows, the cedar is uprooted and torn down. Because it's so rigid, it can't survive. So the Ma'am Loes says the brachos of Rishayim have klolos hidden within. The klolos of Hashem have brachos hidden within. And finally, just to go a little over time, but just to finish Hashem's words, Tezayin v'yitein es Yisrael biglal chatos Yeravam asher chata, and Hashem is going to give Yisrael over to this curse. V'yitein es Yisrael is a language that doesn't want to mention the word klala again, but he's going to hand the Jewish people, the nation of Yisrael, over to this curse because biglal, as a result of, but also combined with, the chatos of Yeravam asher chata, the sins of Yeravam that he sinned. Again, as the instigator, all the responsibility will be with him. He's going to be mentioned again and again and again in Sefer Melachim. Always for evil, never for good. Vasher hechati es Yisrael. Because he was, as we call it colloquially, a chote umachti, the one who sinned, but especially the one who caused others to sin. These Eglei Hazav are not something easily forgiven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to suffer the worst, but everybody is going to suffer as a consequence.